Into the 72 on Tuesday night. It's Mark Wilson standing in for Sam Bridges. No, we've not transfer listed him just yet, but the regular man is here, Tom Cardiff. Tom, are you well? Have you enjoyed your footballing weekend, even though it's been one of those horrible international
weekends? Oh, it's been horrible, isn't it? No domestic. Well, we've had League One, League Two, so you've kind of had the domestic football fix there, but it's been good. Plenty of internationals to watch anyway.
Yeah, plenty of internationals. Are you behind this Rooney out campaign? Campaign at the 72, are you back in that? Or?
Well, I can't speak for the entire 72, but I'd say personally, yeah. I think it's just been below par performances from our captain, so it'll be very interesting tonight to see how England do without him, with him on the bench.
Yeah, will do. Is Henderson the man, do you feel, long-term England captain?
I'm not sure. I think he's underrated at times, but I think, I don't know, it's difficult to say with England. It's difficult to make any prediction, really, on who could be captain, but I just don't think it's Rooney if... You know, if he's not a first-team player, maybe he's great to have as a captain for kind of the team, but to be on the pitch, maybe someone like Henderson might do a job. I don't know. Like I said, I'm sure we'll know a bit more tonight.
We will. What are you expecting tonight? Are they going to get a win? I'd say a result. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You'd expect England. Well, you'd always expect England to get a win. But these are opponents we always seem to come up against in, like, the Euros and the World Cup, etc. And we always seem to get that draw, that 1-1 draw. So hopefully it won't be the same tonight, but I kind of wouldn't be surprised if that's how it ends up.
Well, international football means no football for the Premier League or the Championship. But both back this weekend. Don't forget full match commentary of Leeds' trip to Derby right here on Radio Yorkshire. Redders and Stats will be joining myself down at the iPro. We're on air from 1:30. But what's been going on around Leagues 1 and 2 then, Tom? Because they don't stop playing for the internationals.
They don't, do they? No, a couple of games were called off, but largely they don't stop playing. You start at Bradford. Getting only a point off Scunthorpe, who slipped up at the weekend. 2-0 win over managerless Shrewsbury. I think their manager departed on Thursday, Friday. Mickey Mellon took the job at Tranmere. And yeah, so happy days for them. 2-0 win, 1 point off top.
Yeah, 1 point off top. Now, Danny Parkinson, he's a big City fan. He told me Shrewsbury were rubbish. He said they were rubbish. City should have won 6-0, he said. Is that being a bit overly critical?
I think at times, though... Obviously, I didn't catch the game on Saturday, but having seen Shrewsbury this season, I can understand why he says it. They don't offer much at times. You know, there didn't seem to be much direction in some of their games so far. You can see why they're where they are on the table and why a managerial change had to come now. So I'm not surprised he said that, but you know, it's all a case of who they bring in, who will come in and who will want to take the Shrewsbury Town job, I'm not sure.
Yeah, when I spoke to Stuart McCall probably 3 weeks or so ago, he was delighted with the start that they've had. But you could see at that point he was worried about injuries and how much they were hurting his side. To still be unbeaten is an amazing achievement, isn't
amazing,
it?
Amazing, yeah. Fantastic for them. And, you know, I think after, you know, getting to playoff semis last year, you'd kind of expect them to be top six or around that playoff position, but to be second going into must be near the quarterway stage of the season now, it's great, and hopefully for them they can carry it on.
They can indeed. Let's hear from Stuart McCall then after his side beat Shrewsbury by 2-0 at the weekend.
It's nice friends with Stuart McCall. Stuart, another win. Would it be fair to say you've had to grind that one out?
Certainly second half, yeah. I think first half we played some lot of good stuff. We tell the lads, you know, we can't dominate for every minute of the game, and when you are in then dominant period of the match, then you've got to take advantage, and I thought we did that first half. We could have probably scored a goal straight after. So there were good things first half. Second half, you know they're going to, you know, throw as much as they can at you, but you know they've got the back five, the two holding midfielders, so it's not always easy to break sides down, and while it's always 1-0, you've always got to worry that, you know, a set player, because they're a big physical side, could catch you. But I thought we've defended when we've needed to, we've not been under undue pressure, but I would like to have played a little bit better second half, but that's because of the standards we've set. But I think all in all it was as comfortable as a win as it could be, to say it was only 1-0 to the last minute.
It's been a standing sort of scene, hasn't it, with Nicky Law. He's been playing really well, but finally the goal's come today for him.
Yeah, we played Laws a little bit central today. Obviously Josh Cullen missing out, being away with international duty, and he's done both for me. Wherever he's been, he's played on the left and coming off the line, or he's played central, and I've been out on him. I'll tell you, I've been at him every day and every minute for him. For his ability, he should score more goals, and just because he's got one now, I hope he doesn't think that's his quarter. He needs to keep doing that, because you know he can finish left and right footed, and again, I thought not only his goal today, I thought when we needed him to carry the ball for us, he was terrific.
The front pair, Clark and Huula, worked their socks off, I thought. I mean, Marshall as well was busy down the right-hand side. You've had chances in that game to put it to bed before you actually did.
Yeah, as I said, second half a little bit disappointing, but even the periods we had in the second half when we were sharp and bright and moved it quickly, we did have opportunities. And I think, as you say, we felt today with Huula's and Marshall's pace, the movement of Clark and Manes and Law joining from midfield, we should have enough going forward to create opportunities, which we did have. But as I say, you've got to give them credit second half. You know, they stuck at it, they sat a little bit deeper, but, you know, they put a lot of balls into our box, if you like. And, you know, for us to only have conceded 7 goals into 12 games is a testament to the players.
And the results have gone your way. You're just a point behind, quarter of the way through. You're unbeaten. Things are well for you now, aren't they?
Things are going okay, yeah. We just focus on what we do next game. We've got actually a reserve sort of stroke first team game tomorrow away at Liverpool, which will be interesting. But the big game next week is going down to Oxford, who are, you know, going really well, especially at home. And every game at this division and this level brings up its challenges, but I've got to credit the players along with the supporters who have been outstanding again. And yeah, things are going okay at the minute, but you always know, you know, there'll be defeats around the corner. It's only natural. It's how you deal with them.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Not getting carried away, is the old Stuart there? But, you know, I mean, come on, unbeaten at the start of the season. They're cruising in the Checker Trade Trophy. I know we're going to be coming back to that later on. But they're doing all right, aren't they? And he's got players. Yeah. Rory McArdle can't even get a game now. That's how good Bradford are.
Exactly. And I think, like I said, I've said it before, it's going to be a tough act to follow with Parkinson going, of course, fan favourite. Questions were about McCall when he came in, but, you know, doing everything right. They're doing it right. They're getting the results, like you said, at home as well. 1 point off top. Can't complain with that. Can't complain with that. It's just, of course, keeping it up in the long term, getting those results and keeping themselves. I'm sure they'd be over the moon with a top two finish come May. I'm sure they would be.
Yeah, I think so. We'll be talking Bradford City between 7 and 8 as well, as Bantam Pete, as he's known on Twitter, will be joining us to give us his thoughts on the Bantams. I'm sure having spoke to Pete before, he'll be very, very pleased indeed. What about in League 2? Obviously, there's no game in League 1 for Sheffield United. Well, theirs was one of the games called off, wasn't it, this week?
I think they were meant to play Warsaw, if I'm right in thinking, and got called off. So no action for them.
But there was action for Doncaster Rovers. And, well, I had Rovers on my coupon at the weekend.
So I did
thought, I. Rubbing my hands together, and then I got a bit sweaty at the end, but they just about got it done, didn't they?
Oh, I can relate to you there. I was looking going, yeah, that's the banker. That's the one that's done. Don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, to go 2-0, 2-2. Late goal, end of the day, got the result, but of course, bit of a worry for them. But, you know, bigger picture, 3 points is 3 points, can't complain.
It is indeed. And we caught up with the Rovers boss, Darren Ferguson, after the win over Barnet.
Getting on another winning run as well, or unbeaten run as well, the important to keep that momentum going now.
That's the key. I felt at the start of the game, they showed us a lot of respect. And I think that's come from the run we're on at home. I did. I felt that we were completely dominant from the first minute, which I didn't think they would do. I thought they'd come in on right go at us, but I felt they showed us that respect, and we dealt with that situation really well, and some of our football was really, really good in the first half.
Thanks. Cheers, Dan.
Thank you.
After that dominant first half performance, what was the message at halftime? Were you just more of the same?
It was basically to make sure we looked after the ball and be professional and do the basics right. We spoke a lot, and we do anyway in any game. The first pass kills teams. If you get that bit right, you'll get control of the game, and it was important that we kept control of the ball. And you have to give Barnet credit. You know, they kept doing it and doing it. I could sense that we just didn't get control of possession well enough in the second half. I thought we did when Bowdrey came on. I thought he made a big difference in terms of the three at the back made a difference as well, the composure that he brought. And I just felt we needed to just look after the ball a little bit better.
Did anything surprise you about Barnet either, how they started the first half or how they came out in the second?
Slightly surprised in the first. I thought they would be right in our faces. I thought we were quite comfortable on the ball against them. And the lad Muggleton, we knew about his throw. He doesn't normally play, actually. It's normally the left-back Johnson, but I thought in the main we dealt with it quite well. I don't know how many times he put it in the box, but what surprised me was when he actually came over from the left onto the right. I mean, the boy must have been knackered. He was running about all that much space. And I just thought, here we go. But I thought we dealt with it all right. I know they've scored two goals from it, but on another day it could have been actually more.
Cheers. Is that Thank something you. You're able to sort of work on, prepare for on the training ground, somebody throwing it out?
We do, but it's never the same as a match. I would say it's pretty unplayable, to be honest. I don't see what, unless you cut the boy's arms off, I actually don't see what you can do.
That was
just attention to detail, really. It was the same against Carlisle. But the one thing we did speak about that we didn't do well after the second half, the way to stop it is keeping the ball. Don't let them have the ball, and we didn't do that well enough in the second half. But credit to my boys, and it's another win. It's going to be an important one as well, I think, to keep that momentum going.
With what you said about the referee just now, it obviously, from your point of view, went beyond normal banter, did it? Because sometimes referees can trade a bit of that. Did it go sort of stray beyond that, as far as you're concerned?
If it's what I'm being told is, yeah, it has. I'm quite surprised, quite an experience. I don't normally want to criticise referees to media people, but I think I can't let that one go. I think if we're going to be quizzed and questioned about everything we do, then I think the referees have to be in it. And basically, if he's speaking to my players like that, something's got to be done about it. I just can't tolerate behaviour like that. I mean, if we'd have said it to him, it would have been a red card. That's how bad it was.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, Darren Ferguson speaking to the press after the win at the weekend. It's a win that leaves Donny well and truly in the top three. The second, it's Plymouth, Doncaster and Carlisle. And Plymouth, 5 points clear at the top. They're going to take some hauling in, but Doncaster, decent start to the season.
Decent start, yeah, but you know, the team above them, Plymouth, they've been outstanding so far this season. So for Doncaster, second place, very, very good. Good start for them, and you know, I think after going down and finding themselves in the position they are now compared to a couple of years ago, they're going to want to be pushing up the leagues, and you really do fancy them to secure promotion first time of asking.
Yeah, we had the world famous now Checker Trade Trophy last week. I know we're going to speak about this a little bit more later on, but well, another round of poor attendances, I think.
It's been dismal. It's been awful. Just there's no interest in it. I can understand maybe the need for a rebrand on it, but just the fans haven't engaged with it as I'm sure as they expected. And I think if you do look at the attendances, it is the games against the under 23s that are the lowest. Like you said, we're going to talk about it later, but you know, a few Yorkshire teams involved, it's just not had the popularity there.
No, it's not. Gary Monk has been banned. He's been banned.
Banned.
He didn't do anything. I was there. He didn't say anything. I honestly, old Pep Clatet were about to knock someone out. He don't get sent off, and Gary Monk gets sent off for some cheeky comment. Well, a game ban, he misses Derby. Mm. He'll be sat in the stand as near the dugout as I'm sure he can be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And a bit of a blow for Leeds, you know, doing very well. Mentioned at the international break, etc., but to get that ban as well, it's come at a bad time, but you know, I have faith in Clotet, faith in BT as well to do the job to get the result against a Derby team that are depleted. Yeah, yeah. Not doing well.
Yeah, well, we will see. You mentioned James Beattie there. He's going to be potentially in charge because Pep Clatet's wife expecting a baby. He might not be back in time. It could be James Beattie who is handling affairs for Leeds on Saturday. The boys have been catching up with him this week and he's very excited to be at Leeds United.
Yeah, I love it. It's brilliant. You know, it's a massive club. You know, probably didn't really realise, you know, how big a club it was. But to be part of it and to be showing signs of progression and getting some decent results, you know, in September especially. We had a very good month, could have been better. But we're always striving for greatness and trying to improve things on and off the pitch.
And working with Gary Monk, you worked with him at Swansea, brings you here to Leeds. Yeah. Well, I was going to say there must be a decent relationship.
Yeah, he's a really good bloke. You know, really, like I say, good friend of mine, and he's excellent at what he does. I think now that everybody's at the club is seeing that. You know, not just the fans, but the people who work in the club and seeing how, you know, articulate he is and every attention to detail is covered, and I think we're now seeing the progression on the pitch, and you know, the team's performing better, which is a lot we emphasise a lot, you know, on performance, and of course it's a results business, but I think one of the main things for the gaffer was to give the club an identity of how we play, and I think we're getting that way now. You know, we want to play football in the right manner, but you know, I think if you're able to adapt and you know, play every game as it comes and assess the opponents and what's going to be useful in what game, and that's where he's very good, along with the team that we have.
And it must have been a nice feeling to go into the international break on a bit of a winning run, meaning you've got momentum now going into it.
Yeah, I think with the game, as I say, the September month was very hectic, but you know, the schedule was good for us results wise, and I think to win a game ahead of an international break is important. I think we could have won the game by more. You know, obviously never satisfied with what we've got, but the lads have, you know, say they've done tremendously well in September. They negotiated with the gaffer long and hard after the game against Barnsley, and they got some days off. And you know, everybody's back in today. They're training at the moment, and obviously I'm down here greeting Franny on his run. But the work started, you know, way before the Barnsley game for Derby, so it's a game that we're looking forward to. And as you say, we're confident, and so we should be. We've got good players. We've got a very good team behind us on and off the pitch, and hopefully we can get a decent, positive result.
And so many people say Leeds United should be back in the Premier League. I mean, you look at the stadium, the facilities, the fan base. How much are you looking forward to being a part of that challenge?
Immensely. I'm very proud to be on the coaching staff here, and I think if we continue to work in the way that we do, then hopefully progression will be coming more and more. We obviously need the support of everybody involved at the club. The fan base is at Leeds is immense. And hopefully we can get them happy faces again, and bring the good times back. But it's a work in progress. There's no magic formula, but we believe in the process that we are training the players in the right way, and we're doing the right things on the training ground. And hopefully that will bring the results that everybody deserves. And whether people say that the club should be in the Premier League, the club should be where it is, and that the club is where it is, and if we can get the club back up to where people think it should be, then hopefully we're doing the right things to be able to do that.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
You have the power to set yourself free. We have put an end to line rental charges with our Vodafone Unlimited Fibre Home Broadband. Vodafone, power to you.
18-month agreement, subject to credit check, acceptance and availability. New and upgrading fibre broadband products only. Full terms at vodafone.co.uk/broadband.
I'm pleased to say that we'll be happy to sell your home for you.
And you do come highly recommended.
We're the best, madame. The rate is our standard 2% plus VAT, so if you could just sign here.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. Yopa's local property managers sell your home for a small fixed fee from £780.
But, madame, what about 1%?
See ya.
Yopa!
For a free face-to-face valuation, go to yopa.co.uk. Terms and conditions apply.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, welcome back. Mark Wilson in for Sam Bridges. Tom Carnduff is the rock of this side, so he retains his place at the back, up front, wherever he wants to play. And he's going to tell us all about the news. The news, Neil Warnock, he's back. He's like a cockroach. He turns up anywhere and everywhere, doesn't he?
He's the saviour. He's the saviour of clubs who need saving.
Cardiff do need saving, by the way.
They really do. They really do. But yeah, Neil Warnock, back in management. I'm sure he says every job. I'm sure he said it at Palace. Well, it's my last job now. that's it, I'm done. And I think he's had about four jobs since then. But yeah, in at Cardiff now, looking to turn their fortunes around.
Interestingly, I heard, because he does a bit of work on national radio, doesn't he, Neil? Fair play to him. And his name was strongly linked with a Cardiff job 3 weeks ago. And he like didn't deny it. And you think, yeah.
Yeah,
obviously, he lives in the southwest of England. So it's a bit nearer than Rotherham, where he was last year, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Do you reckon he'll work the Oracle there?
You'd fancy him, wouldn't you, really? I think just track record. You look at even short-term, look at Rotherham. You know, he can get teams out of trouble, but how to put it, I don't think Cardiff want to be that team, going from, what, eighth, just missing out on playoffs last year, to basically now going, right, we need someone to come in and save us from relegation already.
Russell Slade actually did a decent enough job, didn't he, really?
I don't see why they got rid of him. I just don't understand kind of why he needed to go and needed that change. But, you know, I think he'll get them out of trouble, but I can't imagine Cardiff wanting to be that team where they go, yeah, we'll take, you know, just staying up, getting out of relegation trouble, because really, you'd think, right, maybe a playoff push this year after last season, but no, it doesn't seem the case.
No, not at all. But news of a former Leeds United man signing up with the Warnock Revolution.
The Warnock Revolution, as I put it, yeah. Sol Bamba, he's moved. I think Shamak signed today as well. But Sol Bamba has made the move across. And, you know, I think for Leeds fans, you say what you want about Sol and the performances on the pitch at times, but as a guy to have around the club, you know, he's someone that you kind of want around your team. He's very, very positive, very passionate as well. I think kind of said it how it is at times, which is what was needed at Leeds. So for me, I think it's a good pickup for Cardiff. And, you know, hopefully for him, he can kind of find that form that he had early on at Leeds. Maybe at the end it didn't go as well as hoped. But, you know, I think Leeds should have kept him, really. But there we are. He's at Cardiff now and hopefully he'll do well.
Hopefully he will do. Talk to me about Tammy Abraham.
Tammy Abraham is just on fire. He scored twice for England today in their youth game, and he scored, I think it's because of that, I think he's got 13 goals in 16 games, obviously on loan at Bristol City. I think that deal was not going to go through. I'm sure I read it. I can't remember who it was that said it, that he, Chelsea have a list of teams they don't send players on loan to.
Okay.
And this came about that Bristol City were going to be one of those teams.
Right.
When they were trying to get this Abraham deal done. Got it done in the end, and I'm sure but they're delighted that they have now, because he just cannot stop scoring. Got away with England, got on international duty, scored twice again. So, yeah, from what could have been, not having him, we can't send him 2 years. Worked out quite well for him. I'm sure they'll just be hoping he can keep this goal scoring form going.
Yeah, I thought Leeds looked after him pretty well the other week. Limited his sight of goal, but you can't argue with the goals he's getting, can you?
No, really can't. He's really showing that, you know, he is kind of like a Bamford in a way, where he can come to this level and score goals despite his young age and kind of take people by surprise. So should be one well worth watching. You're hoping it is really not just down to good form, but he has got the ability and the talent there to keep scoring in the future.
Interesting. I think now, obviously with the loan market the way it is, Tom, it's going to bite at some point, isn't it, the guys in League 1 and League 2, even in the Championship?
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole loan situation, because there's no loan window this year, is there, as well? You know, teams are going to struggle. You need to get these deals done early. And like I said, you know, it could have been a completely different picture for Bristol City, because where would they be without him? That's the question. Where would they be? I'm sure, you know, they've got other players there who can do the job, but you can't take away the goals that he's scored. And he's been a big player for them. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure I keep talking about that Chelsea list, but for a deal that was near collapsing at one point, I'm sure... Sure, it's kind of proved that it was worth chasing.
It was indeed. I'm surprised on your... You give me a list here, you know. You being the senior partner in this show tonight, you're giving me a list of things you want to talk about. I'm disappointed you haven't put Finn Harps footballer Kevin McHugh on there. He's retired after losing a finger this week. You're not old enough to remember Terry Matteson. Used to be at Cass, the coach. Right. Jumped over a fence while he was in Catalan to get a ball. Got his wedding ring caught, lost his finger. Same thing's happened to Kevin McHugh, and he's retired. He's 36, he's retired on the back of it. That's got to work.
Not nice.
That's got to work.
Oh, yeah.
I like it, though, and it just shows he's got a sense of humour, because he's actually put a tweet out. He says, Hop over, he said, unfortunately, finger too badly damaged to repair properly. Thanks for all your messages. Can't reply to them all, especially with one hand.
He's got the sense of humour still, yeah, then. Still, yeah, looking on the positives.
It's hashtag move on. So, look, not the way I would imagine he wanted to go out, but yeah, fair enough to him. Kevin McHugh retired this week. But yeah, we better move on, aren't we?
I think so.
We better move on. We spoke about Rooney earlier on. I'll tell you what, all Scotland need a win, don't they?
They do.
They need a win tonight. They're in a bit of trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, drawing at home with Lithuania.
Oh, dear. Poor. Do you think a lot of people wanting Strachan to go now? What do you make of that?
I think it's kind of been there for a while, really. I think, you know, you got to look at their Euro qualifying campaign, what they come fourth in that group. I think, you know, they really did not underachieve, but just didn't do well whatsoever. And I think Lithuania's got to be a game you're looking at home and going, right, we can win that. It's a tough group for them this year, and they're the teams that they're going to have to beat if they've got a chance of going to the World Cup. So you can understand why kind of the pressure's on Strachan now.
You can indeed. They take on Slovakia tonight, so that won't be easy. Best of luck to them in that one. We're going to talk about the Checkatrade Trophy in a moment. What's your gut feeling in this one? Is it going?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's just, it's
have
not
they
worked
just
out.
Messed with something that didn't need messing about.
I think
with?
It needed a revamp. I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, because the interest wasn't there, but they've just found a way to make it even worse, where the interest in it is just, I think the interest in it is people like to complain about it. I think that's just the main interest that it has now. I just can't see it. So I think it's only a trial year this, but you can't see them keeping it. You just can't. It's just not worked out well. And we're only, what, two group games into it, so shows that in the long term it just can't be popular.
No, it can't be. I mean, attendance is, it's almost like it's fashionable, like you said, just to kick it now. Don't go. You're almost protesting, but I don't know. I mean, we saw Bradford sub their goalie off after 45 seconds.
Had a poor 45 seconds, as was explained.
He did. I remember Gary Megson did that for Sheffield Wednesday at Bradford, and he got absolutely pilloried for it. But he was ahead of his time, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. No one thought of it then.
No. Bradford are out of their group, though, so I guess that's a good thing for them.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I just think it's the whole under-23s thing. That's, at the end of the day, that's what it's down to, this introduction of the under-20. Or, see, they're not under-23s teams, as I've been told. They're not, because they play first team. They've only got to have six players as under-23, so they're not technically under-23 teams, and they should be referred to as, Bradford's case, Stoke City. Not Stoke City under-23, Stoke City. But like when we were there last week, we cut to, was it, I think it was Tom Feeney was at Bradford, and it was dead. It was dead. You know when you usually cut across to someone, and like when me and Sam go to you across at Leeds United games, it's right, there's a crowd, there's a bit of noise in the background. It was dead. No one was there. There's just, the interest isn't there.
No, and that's from a side that are getting 18, 19, 20,000
exactly,
at
yeah.
home on a regular basis. So, yeah, it just seems like it's in a little bit of trouble, the old EFL Trophy. What do you think they'll do? Go back to as it was before, North and South, and get rid of the 23s or whatever they're called, the
yeah,
reserves?
I'm not sure. They seem adamant on doing it, don't they? Because they had the initial proposal of introducing them into the league and in making a league free or whatever it was. They've now confirmed that that won't happen in terms of the youth sides, B teams, whatever you want to call them, won't be introduced. So they seem adamant at bringing them in some aspect, but I don't know. You can't carry on. You can't carry on the way it is. We're two rounds into it, and it's already getting absolutely hounded. People hate it. Fans aren't going. And the case is, what if two of these under-23 teams, as we're calling for this purpose, get to Wembley? Then what? Then what? I think it just shows it's failed, because some of them are doing quite well.
Well, I'm looking down the list. Leicester City, they're through to the next round, guaranteed. They've won 2 out of 2. Reading have won 2 out of 2. Swansea could still progress. Chelsea struggling, but could still get through.
All their players are out on loan, though.
Yeah, West Ham United are doing what the first, so they're emulating the first team because they're not winning either. Southampton, they could go through. Norwich City, there's been a lot of love for them. 11 goals in 2 games for them. They've put Barnet and Peterborough to the cleaners, so they're going to be a handful, aren't they, going through to the next stage?
Yeah, and it's that, what of, imagine it, because it's going to be played at Wembley as ever. Imagine if two of these under-23s teams will ever get there. It's going to be, we talk about atmosphere and low attendances, especially if you're, I don't know, Norwich, and we say, you know, one of the northern under-23s teams go, you're going to go to Wembley to watch what is going to be a youth side play? Probably not, but Like you said, some of them are doing very well. It's kind of that, I don't know how to say it. Is it worrying that we're kind of, these teams are getting beaten by youth teams of Premier League sides, or is that good for the future of the game? Because they said the whole thing they're doing it is for that future of the English team, or yeah, the English national team.
I'm looking at that, and Nwadiko's been playing for Wolves. He's got 2 goals. That Nwadiko is a first team footballer. He's just been injured. Josh Murphy at Norwich has played plenty of football. 5 goals in 2 games. How is that helping anybody?
I have no idea. And I can't believe this, the first team rule as well. We've got to play so many first team players, whatever. It doesn't matter. Surely if you're coming up against what is going to be Premier League reserves, then it's up to you what team you play, because it's a bit weird that they're going, right, you have to play your first team. You have to play so many first team regular players. However, you'll be playing against teams who have players with no Premier League appearances this season who are just getting this as game time. It's just got so many flaws to it. It just can't work in the long term, surely.
I'm looking at Northern Group here, where all 4 teams have got 3 points. I wonder if it'll be like Super Sunday, the last game of the season, where everyone will be hanging on to their radios getting updates. Or, well, actually, no one will be bothered. It doesn't matter. If we get through, we get through.
I think no one will be bothered. And why are they changing the rules on it as well? What's this penalty shootout after 90 minutes thing about, and you still get a point? It's what they do in American sports, isn't it? Where you go to overtime and you get a point if you lose.
They used to do it in the football, but they've binned it off now. They have proper football now, don't they, where you can actually draw. They've worked out in football you sometimes draw.
Sometimes it's just going to happen. But what's that about, that it's going straight to penalties? It just kind of... I love penalties. Penalty shootouts are great, but in terms of... I don't know, you know, because it usually means something. It means, right, you're in a cup, quarter final, whatever, and you've gone to penalties. Sorry, we'll lead this season, right, that's it, you're in a cup. In a group stage of a game, oh, we've lost, never mind, there's always next week. Who cares? It's just, it's a weird concept. I just can't see it working in the long term.
Yeah, people belittle. They used to pick on the JPT or whatever it was called, but the teams that took it seriously and got to Wembley got a good payday out of it. I just don't see, if people want to play in it, they want to play in it. If they don't, they don't. Why force this upon them? I don't know.
I don't know. I think Darren McAntony, the Peterborough chairman, put it, it's like it's the FA Cup for League One and League Two teams, as it was. It's their chance to get to Wembley. I think Barnsley last year, where they just lived at Wembley, essentially.
Didn't he also say, though, Darren McAntony, that he, I think he came out and said he voted for something completely different. And then they once they got the vote, they almost changed the rules on it. So I think even he was a little bit, actually, we voted for it, but this isn't what I voted for. So
yeah, I think
seems a little bit silly.
It's a bit weird. I think, you know, they're adamant on changing. You know, I think just at the moment we've gone through the EFL rebrand, the introduction of the Checkatrade Trophy as it is. You know, they are going to be changing something, and it's already kind of got underway. But for me, it just seems to be it's taken that day away from the likes of Oxford when they were at Peterborough, Chesterfield in recent years. They won't get to Wembley usually, you know. But, you know, you look at playoffs, yes, but for a domestic cup where you get to watch your team lift a domestic trophy at the end of it, they're not going to make the FA Cup final, they're not going to make the League Cup final. Bar Sheffield United the other year, it's not likely that they're going to get far in these tournaments. And I think it's just that dangerous territory of, well, if Stoke City... and Nora, I'd think Stoke are bottom, but you know what I mean, that where if those two teams get there, it's a case of, well, you've kind of taken the place of a team who's kind of earned it in a way, or should be there in their place. So
I just don't think it suits anyone, does it? And I think the sooner those under 23 teams are out, then the better for everyone else. I think people then might start to take it seriously again.
I think as well, where this whole rebrand of the EFL, looking at this League 3, they said, well, they want to get rid of fixture congestion and then go and revamp the Checkatrade Trophy and make it into group stages where you got to play 3 and you might not even get anywhere, you might go out at the end of it. So it just seems, I agree completely that it needed a revamp. I think the Johnson's Paint Trophy, maybe because it was called the Johnson's Paint Trophy, I don't know, but the interest wasn't that great in it for some teams. So I think a revamp was needed, but this has just gone completely the opposite way. Just not working.
It's just not working. But I guess for a team, you know, we go back to Bradford and mention that, you know, no Rory McArdle, Matt Kilgallen can't get in the team, and players like that, Bradford can still put out a pretty strong team, can't they?
Definitely,
and
I
remember before the last game, he said, I'm just going to make loads of changes, but the team he put out was still a decent team. You've got to fancy Bradford will be up there.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like we said, we spoke about him in the league, but anytime you can win a trophy, it does well, and, you know, people say, oh, well, it's kind of extra games to play, but as Barnsley showed, they can win it. You can win that and then still go up and be successful in the league. So you do fancy them, and it does work in favour of squads like that who, like Bradford, you know, they're a Football League team. They should really be in the competition. They would have been in the old format. And they've got that selection there, whereas maybe that's their one-up on these B teams, etc. The Premier League teams that are in that have only got a select pool, because they're not going to... You're not going to be throwing first team players into it. I don't think Stoke are going to line up with Bojan and Arnautovic and that in their squad. So, you know, they haven't got that luxury, whereas Bradford have. But it's that of how many first team players you've got to play. You've got to play this many who have played regular games. But, you know, in Bradford's case, they've got the squad there. Why can't they be allowed to pick whichever team they want to? I think if it's your squad, if you picked a squad of players, it's like Ian Holloway said the other year, wasn't it, when he was at Blackpool, was it, where he got criticised for when they were in the Premier League for rotating his squad for a game against Man United, and he said, well, you know, I've picked them because they're good enough.
Well,
I think they're good enough to be
25,
in my squad.
He names them and then uses them all, and then he gets told off.
It's that case. If you're naming a squad, you're naming players who are good enough to be there, you know, 99% of the time. So I think it should be a case of, you know, if they are adamant to carry it on like this, you've got to get rid of that rule. You've got to let teams play the squad they want and not say, right, you've got to play just because this player's played this many, he has to play. No, if you picked a squad, surely they've got to be good enough to play.
Very good, very good. I just want to ask you about the 72 in general. Which league teams have really taken your eye so far? Because we're around about a quarter of the way through the season now, aren't we?
I think, for me, obviously, an easy one would be Scunthorpe and your Plymouths at the top. But Scunthorpe, there was a lot of positivity at the start of the season when the EFL did the fan survey that they did this season, where it's a whole host of questions where they asked fans of different clubs. I think one of them was optimism. They ranged the optimism of fans, and Scunthorpe were about fourth, I think, in League One.
Right.
So you can understand why, really. It's been a big turnaround for them, and they're flying high, of course. Slipped up at the weekend, still top. Plymouth as well, but it's got to be Huddersfield Town. You've got to look at Huddersfield Town. I think me and Sam were saying before the season, they're going to be one to watch, but I wouldn't have expected them to be top of the league come quarter of the way through the season, come 11, 12 games into the season. I think they're the one that has been a surprise in what is probably the toughest championship there's been, with the likes of Newcastle, Villa, and just the money there. They've not thrown that money about, and they're top of the league.
Villa, still no manager.
Yes, still no manager.
Why is that? I mean, we're all led to believe Steve Bruce is getting a job. Have you heard any different? Or?
Steve Bruce is still in there. They had that short list of three, didn't they? And the ones, I think Clark, obviously, because he's there. Steve Bruce as well, I think. Steve Bruce, I think if, of course, the Hull City situation, I'm not sure about Villa. They're one of those clubs where you're thinking, is it going to be any better than Hull in a way, in terms of the way the club's kind of...
Well, the Birmingham Mail
are
reporting that Sean Dyche has been slashed to even money next Aston Villa manager.
Why? Why would you leave Burnley to go to Villa when Burnley are not actually doing that bad this time around in the Premier League? It just doesn't make sense, but I think that came around today. The odds just kind of slashed, and it was like, well, where has this come from? Where has this come from? I think at the moment it is just Steve Bruce, and obviously David Wagner was linked as well, but I don't see why he'd leave Huddersfield.
As someone
at the
who has a bet, please gamble responsibly. And I know that it doesn't take a lot of money to move manager markets, because the people at compiler markets are always frightened someone knows something that they don't. It's not like form in a game. They can see what we can see in this. So I wouldn't read too much into the Sean Dyche move, but it is interesting that obviously someone somewhere thinks he might get the gig.
Yeah, and then obviously I think that's it, isn't it? In any betting market where one person bets on something, or a couple of bets come in, everyone goes, right, oh, the odds are going, that's it, I bet it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But bar Steve Bruce, I think that's it, because even Steve Clark's out to 9-1 now, and then after that you're going into 16s, 20s, etc., where it's just any championship manager, any manager going in, let's just throw his name into the ring. And, you know, I can't see it being anyone other than Steve Bruce. I can't see Sean Dyche going there. I just can't see what would attract him there, really, with the projects he's got going on at Burnley and getting him into the Premier League again. So for me, it's got to be Steve Bruce, I think. You know, I fancy Sam Allardyce as well at one point, because I think even if he stayed as England manager, but I think it probably would have blown over by now, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
is that where Sam is tonight? Sam Bridges, is he taking Sean Dyche? Is he kidnapping him so he can't go to Aston Villa?
Him in
is
a
that
lock
what he's
up
doing?
Somewhere in a container on a ship.
Only to let him out on game day on Saturday. what about Jackie McNamara? He could do the gig, couldn't he? Oh no, he can't.
No.
He's got to look after Yorkshire.
He's gone, but he's not gone. In what is the weirdest weirdest managerial story of the statement of, well, he's under pressure, and if they don't do well in the next game, he's gone. I think they got a draw, didn't they? And then
I wonder, right, and I shouldn't say, I wonder if some of the York players went, get in, when that goal went in at the end, thinking, yeah, we're getting rid of him.
Give him a chance, here's another corner, go on. But it's weird how you get rid of a manager and then go, right, yeah, we accept your resignation, but can you just look after the team for a few days while we get
straight into that, isn't it?
It's really, really bizarre, but maybe he's waiting out. Maybe Villa are waiting for him.
Maybe they are indeed. Coming up next on the 72, we're going to be talking good days and bad days.
Why do I drive with Uber? Well, I get to have more time with the family.
Well, it really helps pay off the mortgage quicker.
I drive with Uber because the hours are totally flexible.
And I'm making money on my own terms.
Just some of the reasons why people all over the UK love driving with Uber. Even if you don't have your own car, we'll help you get started with a free Ignition info session. Get started through Ignition, and you'll even get an extra £300 after you've completed 20 trips. Sign up today at godriveuber.co.uk. T's and C's and private hire licence fees may apply.
Have you seen my keys anywhere?
Are they in the dining room?
No. Nope.
Drawing room?
No.
Ballroom?
No. Nope.
Library?
No. Nope.
Indoor pool?
No. Nope.
Outdoor pool?
No. Nope.
Tennis courts?
Ah, nicer problems to have. This Tuesday, there's a £149 million jackpot. Euro Millions. Estimated jackpot. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Sunday Night Live with Tom Kerwin.
Well, this is where I'm supposed to tell you all about this week's show, to lure you in on a Sunday between 6 and 8 o'clock, and remind you it's where we review the weekend's football, tackling Leeds United's trip to Derby County, and so much more with Ben Parker and fans in the studio. But to be honest, I can't be bothered.
Chatting Leeds United on a Sunday evening, because no one else is. Sunday Night Live with Tom Kerwin. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, Mark and Tom with you through until 8 o'clock. Don't forget, we've got the fan phone up after 7. We'll be hearing from fans of Bradford City, Leeds United and Huddersfield Town. If ever you want to come on, let us know on Twitter at @radio_Yorkshire. It's time now to find out who Tom thinks has had some good days and bad days. This is all a bit organised, Tom, and having a jingle and everything, it all makes sense. On the rugby on the rugby show, we just turn up. We don't have any of this.
Did you get Scully doing something like this?
I've had enough of Scully singing. right, tell me who has had a good day and a bad day.
So, we'll start with League One, because, of course, no championship football this week. We'll go with Bradford City, mentioned them already, up to second with a 2-0 win over Shrewsbury at the weekend, flying high. Early on, bad day, Southend United into the relegation zone following a 3-0 loss to Rochdale on Saturday. Then going into League Two, good day, Carlisle United. 3-0 win over Morecambe puts them in third place, flying high for Carlisle early on into the season. Doing very well. Bad day, Newport County. A 0-0 draw means that they have no win in 10 games in all competitions and sit bottom of the table. Managerless with 7 points, I think they're on. To not go in well.
I thought you'd have them as a bad day, because aren't they appointed Graham Wesley? They appointed him yesterday. That's a bad day, isn't it?
Two bad days for Newport County
there
then.
They're in twice.
Because there's no championship, I thought, you know what, I'll throw the internationals in. I'll pick one from each of there. So good. Christian Benteke scoring in 7 seconds versus Gibraltar, where I don't know what the midfielder was thinking. He just gave it to him and let him run off. And then bad day, mentioned already, Scotland drawing 1-1 at home to Lithuania.
I can imagine the Gibraltar cut. Right, lads, just keep it tight for at least 10 seconds. Oh,
yeah, let's see what we can get here. Let's see what we can get. Let's get the ball. Oh, never mind. Yeah. Always next week.
Yeah, we'll try again next week, lads. That was good days and bad days with a jingle and everything. This show's great. some interesting ones there. Bradford flying, agree with that one. Southend struggling. at the wrong end of the table. And Carlisle coming good. That's good to see as well. Big weekend this week. I just think now the table's starting to take shape in all the three divisions of Championship downwards. The games start to take on a little bit more importance. Obviously, we've got live commentary, haven't we, with Derby Leeds at the weekend, and Derby will be looking. They've won one and drawn one of the last two since Nigel Pearson was suspended. Now he's gone. Who do you think's going to get that gig?
It's difficult, isn't it? There's so many names. It's the kind of standard Championship names that are about that are being linked, similar to the Villa one, but then there's someone there that's kind of already got the experience in Powell. He's been mentioned. I don't know if he'd be kind of the one to take it forward, but it's difficult. It's kind of a poison chalice in a way. A lot's expected, not much usually comes of it for Derby, so should be interesting to see who can kind of who can take it over and see if they can do well with them.
Yeah, I always feel there that it's a strange club, Derby. You know, the manager, obviously we saw him get rid of the previous manager for, what was it, not playing the Derby way. I didn't realise Derby had a way.
Yeah, despite being, what, third in the league, it wasn't the Derby way of being
third
in the
league. Does he strike you as maybe someone who wants a bit too much of a say in it?
I think, I don't know, like you said, the last two managers, of course, barring Darren Vattel, you know, is an assistant interim, whatever it was, they've kind of left in weird circumstances. And Pearson, understandably, the team weren't doing well, but for him to be suspended before being sacked says that something potentially has happened elsewhere off the pitch. And then, of course, Clement before, not playing the Derby way, and he went. So I can understand why you say it's a weird club. It just seems to be that you're not sure what the expectation is. It's kind of promotion, but we're not sure how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But that's what we want.
Yeah. And I think proof that you can be in the Championship, throw money at it, don't guarantee you're going to get out.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely always big spenders every season in the past couple they have been, and you know, it's just not worked for them.
What have you made of the big boys in the Championship? Newcastle, Norwich, they're up there now, second and third. Is the cream rising to the top, do you think?
I think they've started to hit a bit of form. Of course, Newcastle, especially even from the opening day against Fulham, you're looking going, well, maybe they won't walk the league then, you know. And then Huddersfield, of course, they got the result against them. But yeah, starting to hit form now, starting to really show that class. The players they've got, the manager they've got at the end of the day, because it is going from Real Madrid to the Championship in, what, 12 months, is it, or something, you know, shows that he is a top-level manager. And they're starting to hit form. Really starting to hit form. Got Brentford at home this week, which, you know, could be a winnable game. Brentford have done well so far, but you look at Newcastle and expect them to win it, and, you know, it's just Huddersfield Town. Huddersfield Town are keeping one of them out, and as long as they can do that, it's going to be tough for Norwich and Newcastle.
Yeah, we've spoken about League One. We'll be talking more Bradford City between 7 and 8, but they're up there with Scunthorpe. Do you think Scunthorpe can last the pace?
There's obviously something going on there, you know, going back to the fan optimism. You know, the fans were fancying big things this season, and they've done very well. I think the top scorers in the league, what, 27 goals they've got so far. Entertaining football. MK Dons at home this weekend, they've not had the best of starts. Very winnable game once again, so could well keep it up. And it's difficult this season with League One. I think going back to the betting, Charlton were favourite at 9-1 to win the league, which shows how open it is. So, you know, no clear favourite, and it's working kind of in their advantage at the moment, doing very well.
Yeah, and Rochdale are making a move, aren't they? 6 wins on the spin for Rochdale.
Doing well.
I know that old Southend were in your bad week, beating 3-0 at Rochdale, but 6 wins on the spin for them, they're doing all right.
That's pretty much all their points, I think, for this season. I think they really struggled at the start, but, you know, turned it around. They're just outside the playoffs now. I think they're just knocking on the door, and early days, of course.
But on goal difference, they're out of the playoffs.
Early days, but still, it's very positive. Very positive. Can keep that going, you're going to do well.
Yeah, they're at 6 without a win, and then all of a sudden, they're 6 straight wins. That's football, isn't it, in a nutshell? It can turn around just like that. Sheffield United, do you think they're going to be a big factor in League One this time?
You'd always expect them to be. Like Rochdale, they had an awful start and they've kind of turned it around recently. A couple of kind of bad results for them recently, but were winning games. Of course, I think in the league, the slip-up of that kind of winning streak was Scunthorpe away, which to get a point out of the way they're going is actually a pretty good result. But you'd always expect them to be there. You know, they should not have been where they were this season, last season. you fancy them as a top six side, and they've got to push towards that way because they're one of those clubs I don't think that should be in League One.
Well, we'll see. And coming up next, before the news, we're going to talk all about the latest transfer rumours. This is The 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Oh, look, they've put it in the local paper.
Really?
Tom and Mary Wainthorpe are proud to announce the engagement of their daughter, Carrie, to Gareth Shadwell.
Oh.
Five-door hatchback for sale. One previous owner, 46,000 miles, full service history, 3 months MOT.
Like getting your money's worth? Well, discover the new delicious barbecue chicken BLC with Beechwood smoked bacon. Just $1.49 from the Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
Afternoons with Andy Lawson.
We've had a lot of fun in the first few weeks of me being on this show, including chatting with a former Bake Off contestant to see whether he'd fancy hosting the show when it moves to Channel 4.
I genuinely do not think that's going to happen. But it would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Yeah.
We always try and help you out with your fantasy football team.
The midfielder, they're bread and butter points as assists. They should be the people that are behind the striker who are getting those balls in, whether they're a winger and they're getting those crosses in, or they're getting those nice neat through balls through the middle, like a Mesut Özil, for example.
And if ever I contact you and say, do you fancy coming on? This is how someone described the experience of being part of the show.
I've still got a bit of an headache, if I'm totally honest with you. I celebrated that one quite well.
Yeah, OK, you got me. That was a Man City fan talking after the Derby victory over United. But still, the experiences could be compared as being fairly similar. Now, all we need is Mr. Voiceover Man to tell you, first of all, who I am, and then what time the show is on. Mr. Voiceover, do your thing.
Afternoons with Andy Lawson. Back weekdays from 2 p.m.
He is indeed. He's been filling in for the legend that is Darren Harper. Darren, back tomorrow on Good Morning Yorkshire from 6:30 a.m. You can catch up with him. He's back in the hot seat tomorrow. Let's end the first hour then of The 72 talking transfer rumours. Tom, what's been going on?
Well, this was number one in the list, and at the time of writing, he was set to join the Warnock Revolution with Solbamba, but he has. Shamak's made the move to Cardiff. Arsenal, Crystal Palace didn't work out the best for him there, so of course, kind of like Bentner, I think, in that line of weird Arsenal strikers who didn't really work out, this could be his revival moving down into the Championship, and I suppose more bodies can't be harmful for Cardiff the way they're going, so we'll move on to the next one. Leon Osman, been linked with a move to Bolton Wanderers.
I'm surprised, because he was linked with Leeds, wasn't he, at one point?
I think everyone's been linked with Leeds. I'm sure you've probably been linked with Leeds at one point.
No. only by the local police. Leon Osman, that's a big step down, isn't it, from Everton?
I think you look at Championship teams and who can kind of take him on, it's difficult. He's, what, 35? He's getting on a bit. For Bolton, to bring that experience in will be fantastic for them, I think, looking as they look to get back into the Championship. So, yeah, a bit of a step down, but could work out quite well for him, whether there's something underlying there, whether he gets into coaching after, you don't know. But, yeah, it's one that's kind of appeared late last week. You've not heard much of it since, but still on the cards.
Bubbling away, that one. And another overpaid Premier League star could be on his way to the Chinese Super League.
Sandro, this time, QPR midfielder. Not been linked with a club, but apparently he's been linked with a move to the Chinese Super League, where careers go to die, and he's it'll take the pay there. I'm sure it won't be shortchanged whatsoever. But latest in a line kind of linked to moves away, and a January move could be on the cards for him.
Could be on the cards indeed. On the cards after 7 o'clock, we will be talking to some of our local fans as we have got the Yorkshire fan phone up here on Radio Yorkshire. Coming up after the news.